from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-E-I.
And welcome back to part two of Postcard from Potbread. I bet they're still going on about 1D, trying to pretend they're hip and trendy.
I'm like yourself banging on about Clarkson on Facebook for the last, what seems like, year. I've let that go now.
What?
You, every time I look at your Facebook in the last week, it's all Jeremy Clarkson, blah, 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 BBC, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, my God, let it go.
Do you know what Martina said to me the other day? If you put any more Jeremy Clarkson on your page, I'm going to block you.
Yeah, I concur. I absolutely concur. I was hiding it. You know the hide feature?
Yes.
I was hiding it because it was just making me furious.
You've got to accept that actually, until this plane crash, this horrendous plane crash, Clarkson was the biggest news story in the world, virtually.
It was, actually. Yeah, all over.
There's much more interesting things going on.
Like the
plane crash. Like the fact that there's, guys sitting on death row in Indonesia. Like the fact that, our metadata's being captured.
Our metadata's being replaced itself. News is organic.
We've done it.
Let's talk about the fact that in Australia there's metadata. There's a bill just passed in the Senate saying they can hold our metadata for 2 years.
Eric, tell her off.
No. I'm going to talk about the madness of England.
Oh, I know.
Let's tax a dead lady for 1 penny.
What?
Yeah.
Really? Who is the most numptyish person of the week to think that? It's Stockport Council.
Well, you can say that, but in a minute I'll tell you they are.
Why?
This is endemic throughout British life.
Yeah, but who sends them a bill for 1 penny and suggests they pay it in instalments?
Yeah, but if you're going to ask that question, which is a perfectly legitimate question to ask, you have to deal with the answer, Uncle Eric.
Right.
It was a computer.
Well, who programmed the computer?
The computer would just be programmed to send out bills for...
Who programmed the computer?
I don't know. Maybe they buy it in. Maybe they buy it from PC World or any other kind of place.
PC World.
A person will have originally programmed the computer.
And what they'll have done, they'll have put in parameters where, say, from debts from 1 penny to £10,000. And that computer will just keep shoving this stuff out.
If you put a parameter in of 1 penny, how on God's earth can you suggest, when there isn't a smaller denomination of coin, that you pay it in instalments?
Well, that's just beyond the letter, wasn't it? I think he's hilarious.
Do you walk in with a penny and put it down the counter and then pick it up again and leave? Then walk back and put it down again?
It's computerized systems that do this all the time. It's like my £15,000 electricity bill on an empty house and stuff like that. It just comes out. But what is more annoying about this than anything, and I feel really sorry for Elsie Watson's family, who, she was 92, 92, she'd been around a bit, and all of a sudden, if they don't take that as a sort of joke, as something that is amusing out of all this awfulness of her passing away, etc., then it is quite horrendous. But what is happening now with the councils who deal with this sort of thing, and it's the local councils who do this, when somebody is taken from, say, hospital into a home, within minutes, it actually happened to Andrea, the wonderful Andrea, within 10 minutes of her mother going in her home, the council had phoned her up and told her that she had to put her mother's house on the market for sale.
What?
Now, they were wrong, but in fact, that's what the councils did, because they wanted to short-circuit anything where it might start to cost them the fees of the home. And so they did it. And it's the same thing. It is the absolute madness of Britain that the councils and these kinds of organisations which run your life are interfering in your lives in such petty and ludicrous ways, and none of them will ever say sorry.
Marvellous, isn't it? Anyway, I've now fallen out officially with Paul Brown.
Why?
Who's Paul Brown?
You can't fall out with Paul Brown.
Well, you should like him, Mr. Banks. It says, and I quote...
Yeah?
Yeah, give him two, and he stuck his tongue out me with a thingy.
Oh, he does that. He knows I hate that thing. He's not allowed to do that to me. He's not allowed. I hate that emoticon thingamajiggy, that emoji thing with the tongue poking out. I think it's a way of insulting somebody without actually insulting them. It's passive aggressive. Paul, stop it.
Yeah, well, and he said,
"Stop it, Paul, you cheeky monkey."
All right, I'll take the whole message and stop it. It means you don't get two T-shirts, Lee.
See, and he's like that. He'll do it. You won't get them.
No, they're for you.
Oh, you won't get them.
Me, I won't get them.
No, because I asked Paul, should you get new T-shirts? And he had the casting vote.
Yeah.
And he says, yes, give him two.
Well,
he was on your side and you've just insulted...
Give me one, I tell you, Paul.
You've just insulted the man who's on your side.
I'm sorry, Paul. I love you, Paul. I'm glad you live in Australia. If you didn't live in Australia, I'm sure we'd be big drinking buddies.
Yeah, right. Get out of that one, if you like. Apparently...
Can we tell the joke?
No. Apparently, a flirty text message between a thief and a girl robber has resulted in stuff being returned.
Brilliant.
Eh?
I love how love happens. It's great.
But this is Australia working at its best.
And that's why we all should look
Excuse me, it's not. It's New Zealand.
Is it?
I thought it was Australia.
I thought it was Australia. No. Is it in New Zealand? Oh, it's Christchurch.
Yes.
Christchurch?
Is in New Zealand.
Please read, yes.
You stupid boy.
Well, you thought the same thing as me.
That's only because I think the same as you.
I didn't think it, ladies and gentlemen who are listening, because I read it.
All right.
And,
good.
Anyway, the story is, doesn't matter where it happens, it's still tray amusing. The story is that this handbag got pinched and these belongings got stolen. And in an effort to have said phone, et cetera, returned, this girl started texting it saying, you know, where's my phone? Give me my phone. And all of a sudden there's this, you sound hot. I wish I hadn't have done that, but too late. It was like, that's lovely. So love blooms over larceny. It's quite a lovely story. Imagine telling the grandkids we met over a phone that was stolen, and I texted and said, give me my phone back. And he texted and said, ooh, you sound hot. And it was love at first click. And oh, my God. Yeah, beautiful.
I think you should get in touch with your former Hollywood colleagues, Rachel, and pitch that as a tag. Love and larceny. Can you hear
something? Love and larceny.
What the dickens was that?
That was the ghosts.
You know, I've got this quiet chair for the studio.
Yeah.
That you hear whenever we're talking, you just hear it in the background. Going,
yeah.
Well, that is the door that Dan the Mending Man came in and mended in the studio so that it would be silent when it was opened. And that's how he mended it. So it goes now.
Have you never thought of WD-40?
No, I thought of Dan. As soon as anything like that, I'd think of Dan the Mending Man.
And we move on. From Dynasty to Dame Joan.
I'm stoked about this. I'm absolutely on my face stoked. I love this woman. She's just adorable. She's just a goddess.
She is wonderful. She was on TV not that long ago being interviewed, and she was still on the ball, and she was asked if she wanted to drink. She said, yes, of course, champagne. And I thought, I got, love it.
I actually met her once. We were doing
a lucky person.
Oh,
I was chaperoning her. We were doing the launch for the cable television network here in Australia, Foxtel, back in the mid-90s. And she was doing a big promo for this particular launch. And we had her walking out onto a... you know, down a runway kind of a deal at the end of a stage. And she said, we put a big gold star for her mark. And when she was about to walk down, she said, darling, I need arrows. I said, arrows? She said, I need arrows down this walkway. I said, do you? All right. And I said, but it's really just a straight down the railway. She said, no, I need to know whether I need to walk on the left or the right. I must have arrows. So we put all these arrows down the left side of the... I said, well, do you want to walk on the left or the right? She said, I'm not fussed. I just need to know which. And I thought, oh, she's very peculiar. She had all these very strange requests. Her rider was something to behold. But she was gorgeous. She was so nice. She was just strange.
But when you think of her origins, where she became famous, which we will say nothing about in case kids are listening, and you go from there to this... I mean, she is just cherished by everybody. What an amazing transition.
She's a bit...
I'm surprised it's taken so long for her to become a dame, really.
Really?
Because, yeah, I am. I'm really surprised because she is a British icon.
She is.
Around the world.
Well, she lives in America.
She really is. When you think... No. Well, she is Australia. She lives a lot of the time in London, but when you live outside of Britain and you think, really, like, hardcore famous British people, you get your Dame Judi Dench and you get your, you know, Helen Mirren and you get, you know, a bunch of other people, but you always get Joan Collins, always.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow. And she's just so glamorous and beautiful. She's 81 years old and she's doing a new show called The Royals, which is hilarious.
She has to be a dame.
Because she's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, she lives out in America. She's lived out in America.
No, she doesn't. She's got a house in London now.
Bob Dylan's got a house in Scotland. It doesn't mean he's Scottish.
No, because he just could never be. But she spends...
She's not American.
No.
She was American. I said she's focused on America. She's focused on LA. She's focused on Hollywood. And her whole life takes place out there.
She lives in the UK making a television show with Elizabeth Hurley.
She's got house over here. I'm not saying that she doesn't have house over here.
She's working in England.
And so do other people. It doesn't mean you have to be a dame. I work in England. I've never been made a dame.
Well, you look like one.
Yeah, you're on you. This is sour grapes. You just want to be a dame. And you know you can't be.
Yeah, you're right, Rach. You're right. That's upsetting me even more now. Because Lee loves this man immensely. James Corden, the comedian.
That big, fat wobble.
I love him. He's fantastic.
He's not. He's a big girl. All he does is go say
the Tony Award winner.
8 years ago, at the end, big girl.
Do you know what?
Right.
Shall I tell the would-be new producer of Top Gear? There is one thing that's beautiful about producing a program. You can really upset the people that are with you.
Yeah.
And I've just done
it. And you get a punch in the gob for it.
Not if you're 2,000 kilometres away, you can't.
This particular gentleman, he's yet another British guy who's doing terribly, terribly well in America, not unlike Ricky Gervais. Excuse me. It's my turn. You be quiet.
Yes, excuse me.
He should be in a well.
He's doing very well, and he's taken over a really hard show to take over from Craig Ferguson, who's also doing very well. But these British guys going over to America to pave their way. I mean, look what happened to Ricky Gervais when he broke America.
Exactly,
he's good.
He's great.
Actually, Rach, I've just thought about something. Mm-hmm. I've just thought Lee is ensuring there is a quintessential English aspect to this international program. Really?
By whinging.
Well, yes. Because whenever there's success, there's going to be a whinging pond behind it somewhere.
Tall poppy man. He's a tall poppy man.
Yes, absolutely.
Russell.
Oh, I know that's true. That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, we move
on. Russell Brand should be on Top Gear with that other bloke we just mentioned who isn't James Gordon.
Ricky Gervais. I'd love Ricky that. Gervais. I'd watch that.
Yeah, now that'd be a good top
Could
here.
Be, actually. Anyway, and just to upset him even more, Rach, as the Slovaks say, and it's a wonderful phrase, acho, which means...
That's what I was doing yesterday, but that was sneezing.
Acho.
It means, and what? Downton Abbey is ending.
Good.
So what?
Good. It's terrible.
It's given me my life back.
Why?
Me too. I don't like it.
It's terrible because it's weak, it's awful, it's... uninteresting, it's not particularly well written, and they're really cruel to dogs and kill them.
But why has it given you your life back?
Because it's finished.
But why? How does that impact on your life?
Oh, I see, sorry.
One less burden. One less burden out in the world.
Because that lovely Andrea person used to make me watch, or I'd go out, actually. And so, really, alcoholism was starting to creep into my life because of Downtown.
You little liar.
She did. She used to make me watch The Voice and then Downtown Abbey.
Right, but you got another television.
I haven't. We're only a one television family. We've got a Bentley to support.
You've got a computer. That's a television.
That's a computer. You know what?
It's another Top Gear. It's another Top Gear, and I think it's a really good idea that they're ending, because it is. I mean, whether we like it or not, it's very popular, and I think it ending as Top Gear ending when you're at your peak is a very smart thing to do.
As we said earlier, and yes, guess what? Good old Fox in America. They've announced.
Paul's going to love this. Paul's mad for this show.
I love it, Paul. We're friends. Mulder and Scully will be back together again for at least.
They're very old now, aren't they?
Oh, shut up!
What?
Yeah, they're so old. They're mouldy and scaly.
Ha! You've been rehearsing that, haven't you? I could tell.
No, I really haven't. It was just one of those light bulb moments.
The US network, well, it's a good light bulb moment, said that a 6-episode run of the new series will start this summer. So we've all got a vote on the interweb to say it's brilliant, wonderful, and give us some more. Because we should have Mulder and Scully on full time. And I can just sit there and be happy watching Gillian Anderson all night.
She's been doing a show in England, actually. She's got a lovely... Yeah, she's been doing a good show there.
Paul, you, the man of the T-shirts.
Yeah.
Could I ask you, I've got a completely different opinion. Could you send us a quick message saying, is the X-Files any good or not?
What? That's such a stupid question.
I'm being interactive.
Are you?
Paul's a hardcore X-Files fan. Hardcore.
Right, Paul. We've all taken your chance of being on the air off now.
Yeah, you're right. So well done, Fox. We like you a lot.
We love you, Fox.
Just for this particular week. And I bet you didn't know one of these was coming to your computer, boys and girls. This all stems from the lovely Taylor Swift, who has reportedly bought the interweb domain. We've got a .fm, because I thought that was rather cool, you know, FM radio. It's actually Macedonia, but don't worry about it. And
what's the F for then?
Macedonia, the Federation of Macedonia.
Rachel, I only asked a fair question, didn't I? There was no reason to be so...
There was a little bit too exasperated, Uncle Eric.
Was it? Oh, OK. I'll change the level. I'll move the acting down a bit then. So anyway, Taylor Swift has reportedly bought the domain name taylorswift.porn and taylorswift.adult ahead of them going on sale to the public on the June of the 1st, I think it is.
Very smart. She's very smart to do this.
Absolutely.
She is. Absolutely, yeah.
And this is just amazing that people have had to go to these lengths. And what makes it even more annoying is people that cyber sit. I mean, Microsoft have actually had to buy office.porn and office.adult to protect their own brand. And that is just outrageously stupid.
It is.
Yes, Paul, I did. I did see Gillian Anderson on Top Gear. She's actually British, I knew. Paul's so good, isn't he?
We're having a love affair.
Well, yes, he is, but there's a couple of things that irk me about Paul. He knows what they are.
Uh-oh,
we'll
Paul,
move on.
You're in trouble. The X-Files is one of my favourites. It's good man, Paul.
Thank you for answering, Paul. That was really nice of you. That shows interactivity works.
Yeah, across all the continents. So anyway, I just find it a bit annoying that people have to protect brands like this. And protect names like this just because somebody else will buy them, cyber sit them, and then charge people copious amounts of money to buy their own name back. And I just think that's all wrong.
I think it is. So basically, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but what is happening, somebody somewhere, maybe an office full of people, whatever, are sitting there and writing things down, like just like Lee G. Banks porn. And then, so they could put that.
No,
I already own that.
No, they wouldn't do that. No.
Why? Is that a personal slight?
If ever it came to LeeGBanks. No. Hang on, let me just think. LeeGBanks.wimp. That would, yeah, I can understand that. They get money for that. But there you go. We move on. Fern and Vlado are up to it again.
Well, I'm bored with them.
They are so boring, aren't they?
Really boring.
Well, it's because our friend Vlad... No, he's not a friend of the... That bloke, Vlado, has been having a natter to Argentina's president, whose name properly is Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner.
But I'm going to
shorten that to Fern because it's too long to say. So Fern and Vlado have been eyeing up the Falklands. So what has happened? We've sent more people down there.
Why not? Just in case. As a prophylactic measure, absolutely, not a prosthetic measure.
And I'll tell you what, they're lovely people on the Falklands. They really are magic. And, you know, hello, Christine. They don't want you.
No.
No, they don't.
They voted. No. They did a vote, one of those things you don't do. They did a vote, and they said, go away, silly person.
They said, bye-bye.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go away.
Go away. Stop it, Fern.
Yes. Fern, behave yourself.
Yeah.
And if the Argentinian geezer's listening, to you. Something the Chinese just can't copy, and they can't. So what do they do?
Why'd you say that?
Well, because they can't. They don't copy it. So what they do, they bought the company that makes the black cabs, and now they've got black cabs driving around China as well as everywhere else, so much so that they're creating 1,000 new jobs with a £250 million investment in the home of the British car, Coventry.
Well, yeah, and just down the road from it, don't forget that the Tatras... car building company. They're the ones who build everything from central heating boilers to buses to cars. Have moved in just down the road from there on the other side of Birmingham. It's massive. All this investment.
Is that the Indian company?
The Indian country.
Okay. I'm with you.
Yeah.
See, I listen.
Exactly. Thank you. I know you do, Rachel. I know you do. It's him.
Not often, but I do.
you're telling me the Tatras company's in Coventry now?
No, it's just outside. I've forgotten the area it's in, but it's just on the other side of Birmingham, literally.
So you mean there's a little bit of Slovakia in England?
Well, it's the Indian company, not the Slovak company.
Oh.
Tatra, car, whack, you know, all those big things that you see flying through
you
Delhi.
You nearly slipped up then, didn't you?
Why, what did I do?
A little bit of curry in your brummy.
Yes, I think that was too close for comfort for me.
Not like last week. Oops.
Oops. Got away with that one. But anyway, apparently so. In China, they are taking the black cabs from England that are made in the West Midlands, driving them around in China, thinking it's wonderful. So it says to me, there's something that China can't copy. It's the good old black cab of the UK.
Excuse me. Why can't they? They're going to be copying it in the factory in the UK.
But that's all right. They're not taking it to China and copying it.
But they're still copying it.
No, they're not.
Of course they are. If they're making black cabs, what we used to make before, then they are copying. They'll have blueprints and things like that, Eric, and they'll copy those blueprints and drawings and stuff like that.
Well, why didn't they put a new factory in China then?
Because it's investment over here. And also, who lives over here who doesn't live in China?
I don't know.
Bez, out of the Happy Mondays.
All right. We've got to move on, boys and girls, because we are running short of time immensely. Got to get on with a couple of these stories. Can we make this absolutely clear? It's not ladies and gentlemen that we're talking about. Because apparently nearly a quarter of students in the UK have considered sex work not ladies and gentlemen. As a way to fund their time at university.
Do you mean pole dancing and stuff like that?
Yes.
And on the phone and stuff.
Yes. That is not naughty, is it?
No. It's nothing to do with your bathing suit areas.
We won't have time to do the... we are going to do this one. Seriously, in Sydney, there's an appeal going out for drivers that have dashboard cameras. See, even Australia gets it right. Because
everybody's got them. It's hilarious.
In Australia, they have. I wish they did here as well.
I can't see over my dashboard, barely. When the GPS is in the way, I'm not going to have a cam. I'll be driving with my eyes shut.
Sit on a cushion, dog.
Yeah.
I know, but it's just
the dog.
It's a leg length thing, and it's a short person. It's just terrible. It's just too big for you.
But apparently, a nurse, 27 years old, was walking home along Falcon Street at Crow's Nest on Wednesday when a man grabbed her and did rather naughty things. Mm. And the police are asking. So, listen. Whenever you see something like...
She got away, everybody. She did get away.
But the point is, if you've got one of these dash cams and you see something happening, help the police out wherever you are in the world.
They're the eyes of the law, and you need to... I think it's your civic responsibility, if you're going to have a dash cam, to fork over footage if it's going to help stop a crime or catch a criminal.
Exactly. I mean, it's just...
Couldn't agree more.
It's a really... amazing one. And we'll finish with a couple of silly stories for you. Apparently now, if you want to be a busker in Bulgaria, you've now got to get approval. Huh?
Yeah.
And you've got to do that here.
But you've got to get a music education diploma.
Oh!
Which is a bit heavy going, isn't it? And finally, as they say... the underground farm in Italy has gone up in smoke. This is an underground cannabis farm. It's been found in a sewer system underneath a residential street in Palermo. I'm sure there's a song about
that. That'll satisfy your munchies.
I was going to say, how much garlic bread was consumed that day?
Offices in the Sicilian... that's where my...
Sicily. There you go.
Yeah, obvious. Oh, why didn't I see that coming? They found 77 cannabis plants being grown in a tunnel in one of the suburbs in the north of the city. And
genius.
Well, it is, because they've not only got it well organised, they created...
It's fertilised.
They created a microclimate with lights for each plant, huge air conditioning. It's like, I'm just going to carry a big air conditioner into the sewer. Nobody will notice.
Nobody will know, but it's also fertilised all the time, so that's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, good on ya.
That's a terrible thought.
It is rather, isn't it? I was quite happy until that point, then I thought...
No, but then so when you smoke it, you say, this is some really good bleep.
Yeah. That's
a very stinky joke. Very stinky joke. No.
You're breaking new ground every week here.
In January, the Dutch police found more than 100, well, they would in Holland, 150 plants hidden in an old World War II bunker. And two men were jailed in the UK earlier this year for building a cannabis factory.
Just legalise it, for crying out loud. It's the most innocuous of the social drugs, goodness sake.
Well,
and it's good medicine, apparently.
I am not condoning it, but whenever have you seen a punch-up as a result of cannabis?
Nobody can be bothered, and they've all got their hands inside Cheeto bags.
I've seen them in punch-ups after smoking cannabis, but it's really slow and gentle.
That's like in replay.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks to everybody who's been joining us on the interweb this week, on the chat room, and especially to Paul for giving away my T-shirts.
I love you, Paul.
So it's time for Rach to say goodbye in a truly Antipodean way.
Ooh.
I will. Oh, see you, fellas. And by the way, happy Easter for next week. I won't be with you, but I'll be thinking about you.
Just hop off then.
Yeah, hop off. Ha ha. Go on, Lee. Lee, off you go with a banger.
A banger?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I just want to say one story we missed out very quickly. I think it's an absolute tragedy that the world's real bearded woman has got to share.
And that's it, boys and girls. We got to go. The time is right up. And we'll see you again. Same channel, same time next week. You have a great week. Until next week. And don't forget, it'll just be him and me next week and nobody else.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.